Welcome, everybody, to the By Yahweh's Design social chat for the sixth day of April, year 2023. And again, this is an informal chat, so there's no real introduction or any of that kind of material. I see John from Miami's here with us, and Charles from Texas, and Ella from Texas. But anyway, so we don't do the usual type intro like I do on Sunday morning. So this is more of a time for us to all get together and talk about some of the crazy things going on in the world and discuss anything from current events to biblical topics and such as that. John, I unmuted you. If you don't want to have background noise come through or whatnot, if you could just unmute, or I should say mute yourself. If you're not able to do that, let me know, and I'll do it from this end, okay?
Okay.
Very good.
Hi, John.
I think you all can hear me now?
Yes, hear you loud and clear, sir.
All right, great. I can hear you as well, Pastor Dan.
Good.
Hi, John.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you? All right. I'm
fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fine, ma'am. I'm going to go ahead and mute myself, and I'll listen to the program.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
I did have some discussions. I'll talk about that a little bit, then I'll open up the floor for anybody that's got something on their mind or whatnot. But I have been in contact with an awful lot of people that feel that there's a sort of a storm brewing right below the surface.
You're breaking up, Dan. Your voice is breaking up.
Well, that's weird. Yeah, that's a good bandwidth.
Still bad.
Pastor Dan, it's still bad.
Okay, thank you. Let me try something. So if I lose everybody, I'll be right back on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess he's calling back in. That's probably best.
Yeah, he was, because it was like he was talking through a bass guitar or something.
Yeah, it was bad.
How are you, Charles?
Real good, Ella. I like your police video.
I love that one that you sent, because that's one of my favorite shuffle dances.
Yeah.
I said that to you. I figured you'd like the girls dancing.
Yeah, pretty young girls. Well.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Much better.
Much better.
Is it better?
Yes.
Much.
Okay. Well, at least I know where the trouble was then. That was my internet connection and not the software program I'm using, because sometimes I'm not sure which one it is.
I hear you well, Pastor Dan.
All right. Thanks, John. Well, very good. What I was saying earlier was just that I'm in contact with a lot of people saying about the storm that's brewing kind of below the radar screen. Most people don't see it, but I get a lot of feedback from people I've known for many years all over the world. It does seem that there is a groundswell of resistance that's starting. And, I'm not trying to make any predictions based on that, but it is interesting that all of a sudden there seems to be quite a few people that have said, enough is enough. Maybe it's because of the extreme pressure to push this whole transgender or homosexual agenda down our throats, not to mention all of the idiocy with vaccinations that don't work and things like that. So, who knows? Maybe we have reached that tipping point that we've all been talking about. It's for many years, and then we'll see something come from this. We certainly hope so. I do know a lot of the younger people that contact me, especially the Warriors. I call them the White Knights. They're kind of itching for a fight. I'm praying this thing doesn't go in that direction, because everybody that knows anything about warfare knows that there is no such thing as a good war. War is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing for everybody involved. But we also know, like our founding fathers, that when the enemy just will not relent, they almost push you to the point where that's about the only recourse you have. So it's interesting. I also saw we're going to see.
Your voice is getting that echoey, funny voice, funniness.
Basically, what I'm breaking up here.
Yeah,
it's like it was before. Jiggle the wire again or something.
Well, that's bizarre. Because I'm guys really good. So the screen.
Can't understand you.
It's pretty bad, Dad.
Now.
It's still bad.
Now.
Bad.
Now.
Better.
And now?
Better.
Better, but still bad.
Damn. How about now?
Better.
A little better.
Whew. Wow, this is crazy. Let me switch to a different microphone and tell me what happens, okay?
Alright.
Okay, how about that?
Too soft.
How about that?
Better.
It's better, but that? It's still soft.
Okay, how about now?
Better.
Much better.
And now?
Very good.
Great.
Oh, really? That's coming through okay?
Yeah.
That's much, much better.
Well, I'll be darned. Okay, hold on. I got one more change to make, and then you can
tell
me.
Sound like Dan again.
All right, and how about now?
Speak again.
Okay, how about now?
Talk a bigger sentence, like Cook Brown Fox jumps over a lazy dog or something.
Oh, my God. I never even heard of that one before. The rain in Spain lays mostly on the plain.
That's a typing thing. A quick brown fox jumped over a lazy dog is to check out all the letters of the alphabet when you're typing. But if you say a longer sentence, it's easy to tell how you're talking. But is it okay now? It's too short.
Okay, I'm talking, and let me know what you...
Fantastic.
Okay, so now it's okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you learn something new every day. I'm using the same stuff I use all the time, and all of a sudden some of the stuff's not working and other stuff I'm trying is working all of a sudden. That's bizarre. So anyway, the stuff I was talking about, I can't remember where I was at. But
that's
let
okay.
me open.
We don't remember either. Start anywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let me open it up to the floor, and then you guys bring up some stuff that either you're hearing about or you get questions about. How about you, Charles, as far as the common law stuff and the jury verdicts and all that? Anything new on that front?
Well, I'm glad you raised that. Thank you, Dan. We finished our complaint for Cindy Falco. We've gone back with various additions and getting all the fine tuning, and we've arrived at a final version, and she's saying she's going to try to get it filed in court tomorrow. So that's a big step forward. Another issue that I'm glad you raised about the jury verdicts and stuff, on our coronavirus issue, the bottleneck we're facing there is, I think I asked you to review it if you're good signing on as the jury foreman in the first juror on that jury verdict document on the coronavirus issue.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, have you been able to scan it at least to get a feel that you're comfortable with what it's talking about and things?
Well, I was pretty, the last time I looked at it, but it's been a couple of days, so I'll probably take a quick look at it again. Do you remember what, well, I'll just go back and look at the document you sent.
Yeah. I think it's in our Dropbox account, too. You can probably pull it up from Dropbox if that might be easier.
Okay. We make note of that. I'll take care of that tomorrow first thing.
All right.
A lot of things going on. Holy cow.
Yeah. I think before you got distracted, you were talking about the riots in Paris, France, and yeah, I forget exactly what you were talking about, but
yeah, the French people are rioting against the elitists, like the people at BlackRock and different things like that. They stormed the headquarters for BlackRock. Just different signs of people saying they basically have had enough, you know. So I don't know where it's all going to go, but it's interesting that it's all of a sudden happening. It's sort of spontaneous, or at least it feels somewhat spontaneous.
Yeah.
Let me ask now that I'm thinking about it, there is something I've got interest in that I could use advice and or expertise in, and that is the setting up of trusts. Do you have any experience in that area, or know anybody that's experienced in that area, Charles?
Well, basically, yeah, it's not really all that complicated. It's just an agreement among a community of people. It's like a social compact, similar to a contract, only a deeper level of commitment. And it's all under equity jurisdiction. In common law jurisdiction, it's the church. Okay? So if you've got a church, you've got First Amendment protections. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That's your trust organization under common law jurisdiction right there. But they don't like it. It's unfashionable amongst corporate lawyers to talk about things like common law jurisdiction and the church. So all the bells and whistles are over under trust doctrine, which is a mechanism of equity jurisdiction, which is all derived from the Roman Empire statutory civil municipal jurisdiction. But within that framework, it's very powerful and very useful, no doubt. That's my quick and dirty summary of what you're looking at there.
Okay. Have you actually ever set up a trust?
No, I've got I've sent a registration form with the Oregon Secretary of State to set up a nonprofit religious organization. That's better than a trust, in my humble opinion.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Have you got a religious organization that's registered with the Secretary of State or anything?
No.
That might be a good formality to complete.
Okay. I'll certainly look into that. Try to think of some of the other stuff that's going on. So much stuff going on, you can't hardly keep track of it all.
Yeah. Following up on the Sheriff Mack thing, there's a second video that I think Jennifer or somebody sent to me, maybe you guys, about... yeah, I'll post a web link, a second interview from a lawyer that sounds like a pretty good guy, but
so does it sound like it's legit?
Well, the people criticizing Sheriff Mack they sound to me like they're legit. Yeah, I just posted a web link to the video. It's another 45-minute follow-up in addition to the other one that we saw, same interviewer lady that's doing them. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. America's frontline doctors, they're the people that are responding to the whole COVID military-industrial complex conspiracy and resisting it fairly honorably. But obviously there's some subversives in the organization, and it's looking like Sheriff Mack might be one of them.
Wow, that's certainly eye-opening there. And same thing with that Dr. Simone Gold. That's a eye-opener there as well. So,
did you hear about that midazolam stuff?
Midazolam? Whatever? No, I didn't hear about that.
You know, when people go into the hospital and they put them on the ventilator,
right,
they give them a substance called midazolam. That's the generic name for it, but the brand name is called Versed. What that does is it kills them, basically. What it's meant for to be is like pre-anesthetic. It's meant for like a sedative and an amnesiac. Because I know when I worked in a hospital and assisted with colonoscopies, the sedating substance I used was midazolam, and we give that during the procedure of a colonoscopy. And it's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to decrease pain, but the main effect is it gives you amnesia. And what I've seen with the use of midazolam is when it's given, the patient doesn't remember their pain, but they still have it. So if you go to the hospital for a colonoscopy, you come out later on and the patients will say, I didn't feel a thing, but they did, because I was there for the whole thing and they felt every inch of it, but they don't remember it. Well, that's the stuff they're giving these people when they go into the hospital and put them on a respirator. If they give a little bit too much of that stuff, which does the job, it'll kill them. And that's what they give to the old people, too. So there's warnings about using that stuff. It makes it look like it's something you can buy over the counter, but you can't. It's like fentanyl used to be just an anesthetic for surgery, but now it's used in the public. So I don't know if the Versed or midazolam is out for public thing, but I wouldn't go near it if I were anybody. I wouldn't let any doctor give me that crap.
Just for
reference.
Right.
And anybody going in for a colonoscopy, you're going to feel it.
Wow.
Although they tell you you won't feel it. But the thing is, you don't remember feeling it. And there's a big difference.
Oh, yeah, it is a big difference. Holy cow. Unbelievable. We got Cody from New York has joined us, too. Welcome tonight there, Cody.
Good evening, Pastor Dan and whoever else is on the call tonight. Just listening, what's going on.
Okay, very good. I've got Jen muted from this end, so if you can, just mute your own phone or whatever you're using. I guess it's a phone.
That's correct.
That way, if you sneeze or talk or whatever, you don't have to worry about walking over anybody else that's talking.
Has anybody seen the videos on what's going on with the police, particularly in other countries? They're just forcing their way into people's houses and demanding that they do things.
Well, it'll be blood in the street.
Five cops entered the house of one woman and were telling her what to do and where to go and everything. And she's telling them to get the heck out. They have no right being there. And they just barged right in.
Hmm.
And if they stopped somebody one guy was on the street and this cruiser pulled up and just said, hello, how's things going? And he said hi to them. And they said, where are you going? Just going to work. And they said, I'd like to see your ID. And he said, you don't need to see my ID. I'm just going to work. They get out and they arrested him and put him in the cruiser and arrested him for not showing his ID.
Yeah, they are brainwashing the people in uniform to think that, and I've got relatives who have been police officers and state troopers. They're basically told at the ground level that because they have a badge and a gun, you have to do everything they say. That's not true legally, but it's what they're telling them because they know the average cop is not going to bother to go look at the law. They're just like the average soldier. He never reads the Constitution, and he never reads the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They just don't read it. So they're at the mercy of their commanders and the legal department and everybody else. So whatever they tell them, they just believe it's true. So they've got the cops believing that you and I are at their mercy and must do whatever they say. They're out of control. Everything in government's out of control. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But more and more people are realizing we need to separate from this beast system. We need a parallel society. We need a parallel economic system. And for gosh sakes, people need to get self-sufficient, self-reliant. They need to learn how to make do with what they've got. And that includes the growing of food. If you can't grow a lot of food, then at least get a hold of some food that's simple and you can grow. If you're starving, a potato tastes pretty damn good. All right? Potatoes are generally pretty easy to grow. Tomatoes, pretty easy to grow. Carrots, usually pretty easy to grow. So even if you can't grow a lot, whatever you can grow on your own soil, even if you got to use vertical towers, grow it. First of all, it's going to taste a hell of a lot better than anything at the store. And you're going to know whether it's been sprayed or got chemicals and all that crap on it. And now we're finding out they're sticking that mRNA stuff in pork, which we shouldn't be eating anyway, and beef cattle. So pretty soon, they are going to make it to where anything you find in the store that comes through a processing center is probably going to be contaminated. So at some point, we have to be able to feed ourselves, whether we like it or not. So it used to be a suggestion. Now it's an actual, you better learn how to do it and better learn how to do it fast. There's a couple people I know with a business idea, entrepreneurial type guys, to where they would set up homesteads for people for a small price. So if somebody has land, but they don't know how to build a homestead, a crew like our people would go in there and turn it into a small homestead farm for them and then show them how to run it and then leave. Or we could purchase land and build up homesteads and put them on the market for sale for a small profit. So it's just an idea. I think it's a good idea. This time, right now, there's a lot of people that are leaving the cities, and they don't know how to build a homestead. So I think it's not a bad idea because there are some people with that kind of talent, but not everybody has it. So I wish I had more better news for everybody, but we're watching the decline of the dollar. We're watching, what are we up to now? 7 countries, I think, that have decided to join BRICS, the BRICS nations, and turn away from the U.S. dollar. They're going to accept other currencies, and as soon as that happens, the value of the U.S. dollar will plummet quite a bit, actually. Go ahead, Ella.
I'll remove the hand so it'll get that. Okay, what I was thinking of is you were talking about buying land for a homestead or the community that you want to build.
Right.
Would it be feasible for you to look for something like a large house, like a three-story house on maybe like about 5 acres of land to begin with? That would make a good garden for the house, and people one by one could come there. People might, like me, a single female, and, you know, getting in age and can't really do a lot for myself, you know, I do everything any young woman can do, but you know, I still have limitations at my age. That would be a place where people could go, you know, if they're single people or even couples. If it had about maybe 10, 12, 15 rooms in it or something like that, it would be a start of a community. And then as you go, we could add on rooms or add on houses or add on supplementary land or something like that. But if you start out with a small area with a large house, you know, a small yard or something that would grow crops and stuff, it would be a beginning. And then once you get that little bit started, you haven't invested that whole heck of a lot. And that could be made into like an apartment building or something like that, just to start with. Instead of having a big thing, like my picture in my mind is, you know, 150 acres of land and then start having building plots and building gardens and everything, that's going to take forever. But if we start with one big plot of land and one house with a lot of rooms in it, that would be a heck of a lot to start.
Okay, Pastor Ben?
Yeah, that's a good idea, Ella. Go ahead, John.
To get off this subject for just a minute, a couple of years ago, actually two times, and I remember well, I was stopped by the police. Each time that I was stopped, I asked them nicely, and y'all can do this, quote, "What is the nature of your inquiry? Why have you pulled me over?" He kept telling me that he wanted to see, they both kept telling me, "We want to see your license. I want to see your license." So finally I told him again, or asked him, "What is the nature of your inquiry?" Because I started to pull out my license, but I held it in my hand because I didn't want to give it to me until he told me why he stopped me. And they both did. However, one gave me a ticket and the other one did let me go. But see, this is the bad thing that America is today. We can get pulled over for the silliest thing or some small infraction, and then they ticket you or they harass you if you don't want to give them your driver's license. But I told them nicely, I told them also, I can ask you questions when you stop me, even though you want to see my license. I told them like that too. But I don't see America going on any further. That's it. America is done and over with. It's been done and over with for many, 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 many years now. It's just gotten so bad. We have criminals in the White House and in government right now stealing that last election. But, of course, Donald Trump would have been the better candidate to stay in, and he somehow fought to get to get inside the White House, but he still would not have done a damn thing. Now, who knows? Maybe he would have, but I seriously doubt it. All right, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, we're not gonna vote our way out of this mess. I think that's pretty obvious.
That is correct.
Trump is a diversion. He's one of them.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, he is.
So they just stuck him in there for these people that are Trumpites or something, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, they're going at our good boy, and they're gonna start raising Trump up as their savior. So that's just something that they're doing to keep our attention off what they're really doing, which I don't quite know yet. Except they're destroying the United States. The banks are going down. They're coming out with that digital currency. So who knows when one day we're going to wake up in the morning and not be able to pay our bills because we won't have any money in the bank. And they won't give us any money unless we get the jab.
Yeah, yeah, they're planning. They're planning to do something because what you just said, they know that a lot of people in this country, including us, have not been jabbed with that stupid COVID-19 vaccine. They're going to do something, but now they're putting supposedly this COVID-19 vaccine in the I don't eat pork, but I do eat beef, and I don't even know how I'm going to find out what has not been vaccinated. Are you
going to
tell us that or not? Anybody know?
I don't know of any.
They're going to get us vaccinated one way or the other.
I don't know.
They're going to end up probably killing the dollar, and then we won't end up with anything. And they're going to say, "Well, we're going to put $5,000 in your account as soon as you get the jab."
Well,
and then people are going to say, well, I guess I better because I'm not going to be able to eat if I don't. Now, what does Revelation 13 say? You won't be able to buy or sell or eat or anything else unless you get the jab.
Well, I'm pretty sure that very soon they're going to come up with another goofy, silly vaccine or some disease. They're going to invent some disease. Oh, this spreading across America or Canada, you all need to get your vaccine. You got to get this type of shot and this type. Man, these vaccines are killing people.
Now, why are they vaccinating us against a cold anyway? We've had colds for years. The cold is our immune system getting rid of toxins. And that's what COVID is. It's the flu or a cold, and that's all the body getting rid of toxins. They don't want us to stay healthy. So give us a jab that'll shut our bodies down and shut our immune systems down, and you're one step closer to the grave.
Even if it's a couple of years, but yeah, you're right. That puts us one step closer to our graves.
I'll tell you one thing they're doing now through everything that they've done for the past 3 years is they're stressing us out so badly, we're going to die anyway. Because they've shut us off to doctors because doctors don't treat us anymore. And if you go to a doctor, they're going to insist you get a jab. So if you're completely stressed out and you can't stand it anymore and you call a doctor, they're going to say, we're not going to take you unless you get the jab. So you can either get stressed out and die or go to the doctor and get the jab and die.
I'd rather be dead than to take the jab. If I get a disease,
I will be dead before I take it.
Well, I'll have to decide what happens to my life if and when that time comes. But now they're going to have to come up with some kind of nonsense again. They're going to want us to go get this stinking jab. It's getting ridiculous in America. I mean, America is turning into a satanic country. It's not going to get cured. The only thing that I know to get it cured is any states are willing to succeed. Secession, or who knows, maybe some patriots, or they're not going to take it anymore. Who knows if they'll probably take the law into their own hands and attempt to arrest these people, or I don't want violence, but I think somebody or some people are probably going to use their guns one day to stop all this nonsense, but that may not even work.
Well, you know, this is still America, and we're the only country in the world that is armed to our teeth. I don't know why people aren't packing today. They're trying to kill us, but they're telling us we can't defend ourselves. I mean, if a cop stops you like that, he might very well kill you.
If I were
a single woman, if I were a single woman out there driving around in my car, I'd be fearful. I'd either have a gun on me or I'd have a good long hat pin. Although a good crochet hook can do a lot of damage too.
Well, I learned a long time ago when I was stopped where it's not just to put my hands on the steering wheel. I need quick access and where the said, he has a good chance to shoot me if he thinks I'm doing something that will harm him. And many cops, sadly, they're making mistakes every day all across this nation, killing people. They should be tried for no, I mean, that's damn murder. Oh, you're a cop. Are you going to get away with that, too?
Oh, well, if they stop that guy for doing nothing and arrest him because he wouldn't show his ID and then shove him in their police car, that means they kidnapped him for no reason.
Yes,
that's illegal.
That's right. It's illegal.
And you can go to jail for life for kidnapping.
Well, tell them that. They're not going to listen.
Well, that's the only reason. If we were all armed, they would think twice because there's a 50-50 chance they're going to die.
That is correct. You're right about that. But then who would have the guts to shoot a cop under certain conditions like that?
Absolutely. They're people. If they pull a gun on you, if they pull a gun on you, period, you shoot back. Because they got no reason to pull a gun on you if you're not doing anything. And that's actually attacking you and attempting to kill you. They just think that they have the power that they don't have. They just have that narcissistic thing that I am the man and I wear a uniform and therefore you will do exactly as I say. I better not hear that from any of them.
Keep in mind that a lot of the youngsters going into the police forces, the police academies today, were raised not like us, but to basically tell other people what to do and how to do it. That's the kind of young people we have today in America, and middle age too, in the late 30s and early 40s. That's what we have up there in the police forces. That's how bad it is. Well, that's basically it that I have to say. You all got to watch
yourself when we're stopped. One thing people can do is contact me if you don't already have a copy of it. Charles Weissman wrote a book on false arrest and false imprisonment. It's a kind of a short book, but it covers all of it, makes it very plain to understand what they actually have a right to do and what they don't have a right to do. So, yeah, I put out a copy of it to everybody on my email list not long ago, but if somebody didn't get it or they hear about it and want it, just contact me. I'll be glad to send the PDF of it, and you can read it. But it's a very, very good, simple treatise on what constitutes false arrest and false imprisonment, and also it covers some of the penalties that these public servants are supposed to receive for doing that.
Pastor Dan, go ahead and send it to my email. I'll look at it tomorrow morning.
Okay. I'm writing that down right now.
Yes, yes.
All righty. Anybody else got anything to report or questions or whatever? And some of the things that you were talking about earlier about the food, we're very quickly approaching the point where you can only totally trust food that you either grow yourself or you have knowledge of the person that's the ranch or farm where it was grown or raised. We talked about this for the past 23 years. People need to get in touch with their local ranchers and farmers and get to know them and what their methods are and whether or not they're organic and proper or not. And now it's going to be more important than ever. You've got to get locally produced, organic, safe food, vegetables, fruits, meats. And you need to clean your water yourself. Don't trust the municipal water. Don't trust bottled water. Anything coming in from a factory is probably owned by one of the elitists. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily mean for sure that it's contaminated, but if you're not there to watch the guys that put the stuff in the bottles and cap it or put it in the package and seal it, then you're not, there's no way you can know for sure what they did to it. That's why some of the fast food now has been tested and showing human DNA in the fast food products. Can't trust the New World Order and everything that they run and everything that they own. You can't trust it.
Dan?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Oh, you can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. One thing we can all do now, starting today, actually starting tomorrow, is, you know, with the things the way that this country goes now, the place that I can see where this country went terribly wrong is when Women's Lib came out. That destroyed completely the family unit. What people ought to do now, since a lot of people are unemployed anyway, is have all the women stay home and school your kids at home. Pull them out of public schools, because they're the ones that are teaching kids that their parents don't matter. I know I have three kids that were raised in this public school system, and they're gone. They don't care if I'm their mother or not. Kids have no respect for their parents at all, because the schools are teaching them how to become women, how to become girls, how to become boys if you're girls, and how to put a condom on and all that stuff. They no longer learn just reading, writing, and arithmetic and how to read the Bible. In fact, we can't even read the Bible anymore. There is absolutely no use for a public school at all. And anybody with a woman staying at home that has children going to public schools, shame on you. That's all.
That's a good point. Yep, it's a good point. We've talked about that for a very long time. And like I said, when we first started talking about it, it was a suggestion. I think we've reached the point where it's imperative that you do it. It's not a suggestion anymore. It's, you must do it if you care. If you care about what's going to happen to them and to you and to the society, it's not a choice anymore.
Do we want the next generation to be like this one is?
No.
If we keep going the way we're going now and nothing changes, the next generation is going to be worse than this generation. And we have to stop it now. Line in the sand. No more. Our children are ours. They don't belong to the state.
Well, that's true. The state doesn't belong in family business. The state doesn't belong in our health care. The state should have nothing to say or do about faith and religion. The state's involved in a whole lot of things that they have no business in. They have no mandate for it. There's no authorization in the Constitution for it. They took it upon themselves, and nobody had enough guts to take a stand against them. And so we, the people, are partially responsible for the fact we've created this monster. Because we forgot how to say no. We forgot how to challenge and resist when people are out of line. It's like I said.
Another thing people can do is stop saying the Pledge of Allegiance. They're not worthy of it. Would you stand up and pledge allegiance to this country right now?
No, I'm not. Not anymore. Absolutely not.
Then we ought to all stop it. The ball games, let's go to ball games, but if they play the national anthem and salute the flag, they ought to sit on their asses and just stick their finger on their nose and wave their fingers. Because this country deserves absolutely no respect at all.
Well, that's what's happening now with the banks having problems and now the dollar. So many people, so many countries are moving away from the U.S. dollar because they know that America is nothing but a thieving country to steal their money, to steal their goods or whatever they're doing in these countries.
But that's what America has become. And we don't deserve it.
Our military is a murdering organization. They're sent overseas to kill people.
That, exactly, yes. And they've been doing that for many years.
They used to use the excuse of fighting communism. Well, heck, we're smack dab in the middle of it. Those men, that those heroes that died during the war, World War II, everything, they must be rolling over in their graves that they gave their lives for what the results are now. It must be sickening to them.
A couple of years ago, I was speaking to some World War II veterans, and there were other people around us, and I told them some basic stuff about it, that we were lied into World War II. And I mentioned the Jewish question about that.
Of course we were.
Yes, we were. But the Jews got us in World War I and World War II, Korea and Vietnam. But when I told those World War II veterans that they didn't speak with me ever again. It was a quick conversation that we had. And I told them, no, we didn't fight for anybody's freedom.
Nope.
I even at one point I said, look at where America is today. Look at all these laws that we have that can lock up all of us for something small that we do that's ridiculous. No, that's why most of World War II veterans in America are dead now, but there's some that are still living, but they're in their 90s, getting close to 100. I mean, we just can't preach anymore. People's minds are made up.
Well, they've been taught in school about the Holocaust, when it was actually the Jews that boycotted Germany and pushed them into war because they did not like Hitler taking over the country from the Weimar Republic. They were destitute there. Hitler came in and turned that country around so that the people were happy. They had jobs. He kicked out the central banks and started their own currency. All the people had jobs and they were happy. And they could not have that, so they had to destroy him, and they have done it. Everybody today thinks Hitler is a monster, and he is my hero.
He's my hero as well.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
April 20th ought to replace Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, man. Who was it? Ronald Reagan gave us that holiday, didn't he?
I think so.
Ronald Reagan was also another son of a bitch. Excuse my language. But when I found out that it was him and I heard that he was the one going to pass that Martin Luther King law or a Martin Luther King holiday, I hated him right then and there on the spot. That Martin Luther King was nothing but a communist nigger SOB. That's all he was.
Don't hold back, John. Tell us how you really feel about it.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Keep on going, John. You're right on the same street I am.
I have made some remarks about Martin Luther King holiday to different people, and I came close to saying that at times. I mean, I told some people, we don't need this holiday. Why have this holiday?
Oh, he was a communist.
Yes, he was. Here's the bad thing about this holiday as well, that Martin Luther King holiday. Federal government workers are at home on that day getting a paycheck without working. They're getting paid for nothing, just sitting at home on a communist nigger holiday. It stinks.
It's disgusting.
It's true. They all sit there. So many of them are getting drunk, too.
Well, they're probably sitting behind their desks in Congress watching porns.
Well, those are bastards themselves in Congress and the Senate and everything. But I'm talking about the average John and Jane Doe, American, government worker at the federal and even state levels. But the federal levels, my God, they're so bad that it's like I'm giving you a paycheck. I mean, did you earn that? You got to work for it, but they're not. That's what makes me so mad about so many of these holidays.
That's disgusting.
Well, if I'm working on July 4th, I'll get paid for that. I don't care. At least I'm getting paid. But these cocksuckers are at home on July 4th, not working, and they're getting a day's pay. And that's a lot of money these bastards get. A good example is the, who is it? The U.S. Post Office. My gosh, you can tell what days they're going to get off. They are getting highly paid. And they don't deserve it.
Something's happening with the post office, too, I've noticed. I live way out in the boondocks. So when I notice when things change, the mail is coming less frequently. There's less in my mailbox, and there's more private cars that pull up to my house to deliver mail and packages that are not post office. And one of the postmen that I have had that used to come and deliver my mail, I haven't seen him in a couple weeks now.
Wow. Now, the people that I know that work, no, it's, you see, there's FedEx and UPS. Now, they do have some federal government holidays off. But it's the post office that takes them all off.
Any federal business, they're all way off because they're all controlled by the government. So they're all going to get screwed up.
Yes,
anything
they are.
The government cannot be right.
Well, I'm very convinced that I don't see America turning around. We're basically going to our graves with nothing ever going to get done to correct things. It's not going to happen.
Can I jump in?
I have a feeling that the next 2 years is going to bring something totally radical in this country.
Yep. Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you, Dan. On that note about whether or not we're doomed or whether or not God's people got a fighting chance, I'd like to point out that I just posted in the chat window a little bit ago the web links to where the coronavirus jury verdict is in common law jurisdiction that we've set up, and especially the men like John that are really angry about all this. We need 12 people to sign on to a document like this. We can edit it if people need to change this or that wording, but we got to get 12 people to agree that this coronavirus issue is a bellwether indicator, and we got to draw a line in the sand to confront the evil intellectually through judicial process. See, it's going to be a nasty battle that we might not be able to win if it's just guns versus guns, the evil empire soldiers versus the patriots. The chances are precarious that we can win that. But if we organize around our constitutional common law judicial power, as we're doing with this coronavirus verdict, then we're taking the battle to their front door, and we're going to be talking about removing them from office lawfully with whatever force is necessary. This is where we need to go. This is God's model of government. Our jury trial process is based upon decision-making bodies of 12. This relates to the 12 tribes of Israel and Jesus' 12 disciples. Okay, this is the biblical model of government. And America is under Roman Empire, slave trader, civil, municipal, statutory model of government. It's fundamentally unconstitutional, and we need to get back to the biblical common law Protestant principles of our government, and this will solve a whole lot of our problems, and it'll give us a fighting chance to actually win this battle and establish God's kingdom on this earth. I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. That was good.
Thank you.
Yep, we got a struggle ahead. The main thing is to stay positive, stay focused, and you never surrender, you never give up, ever. That's our job. We need to remember that. Speaking of remembrance, we are in the Passover season, and every follower of Yahshua, Yahweh, should be remembering that this is the time our ancient ancestors, our father, had the death angel pass over his children's homes. This is also a remembrance of the promise from Psalm 91 that those who call upon his name may see 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 at the other, and it will not come unto you. So I know things look terrible, but you have to have the faith that if you remain in him and stay strong with him, then he never forsakes us, no matter what it looks like. I keep thinking of the story not only of King David when he went up against Goliath, but how about Daniel in the lion's den? So, I mean, you know, odds are pretty damn slim when you're getting stuck in a den full of hungry lions. Pretty sure the outcome of that one's not going to be good. So if Daniel could make it through that, then I think we can make it through this. We just have to stay strong, lift each other up, keep the prayers going, but also the activities. I still like that old saying, you pray as if everything is up to the Father in heaven, but you act as if everything is up to you. So it's okay to pray, but then if you sit back thinking God's going to solve all our problems for us, sorry, that's not how it works.
Well, as it is nowadays with people, they honor Yahweh with their lips, but their heart is not with them. Because you show your love, you do your actions. You don't just say you love him. You show him you love him by doing as he told you to do.
That's right. Actions speak louder than words.
Exactly.
Yep. All righty. All right, folks. So I don't have a whole lot more. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring to the table at this time?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for being there. I've been in a very bad mood for the past 3 or 4 days, and you've just pulled me out of it. Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Cody, even though you didn't talk.
Oh,
you're here.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
This is what a family is. They get together and they discuss things and they feel better.
Exactly. It's called fellowship, and it's discipleship as well. It's how you keep everybody lifted up, because this world can be very depressing at times. So fellowship is important, that's for sure.
We're in a spiritual war, and the spiritual encouragement, the energy flows when we come together in community. This is the ecclesia, the church. This is the body of Christ. This is where we get our batteries recharged.
Amen.
You don't think five people is very many, but the Bible says anytime two or more are gathered, I am there. Well, yes. There's five of us here, and boy, this is my family right here now.
Right.
Thank
on.
You.
Yeah. Great, huh?
Yeah, well said. All right, I'll go ahead and close it in prayer then, and we'll reconvene on Sunday morning and then a week from now on Wednesday night. So until then, Yahweh bless each and every one of you. Thanks for being here. For the folks that listen later on, we hope it's encouraging to them to listen in on the conversation. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, as always. And we do know that we as your children sometimes stumble and fall. Sometimes we get a little bit depressed and even kind of weary. But we also know that you have mechanisms there for us to lift us up and give us energy. And fellowship like this is one of them. prayer is certainly one of them. A visitation by the Holy Spirit is another. So we have a lot of tools in our toolbox if we just use them. And to that end, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.